Sideline Sanity with Michelle Tafoya.
The great Bob Woodson.
I believe that the opposite of segregation is not integration, it is desegregation. The civil rights movement incorrectly argued separate is inherently unequal. It should have been argued that it is strategically unequal. Because if you say something is inherently unequal, it means anything that is all black is all bad.
Sideline Sanity at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All righty, we're back. And okay, we're going to go to prayer now. And in the article, the defamation suit has continued. Nevertheless, the jailing of Engelbrecht and Phillip came after a hearing last Thursday in which federal judge Kenneth Hoyt found them in contempt of court for refusing to hand over the name and contact information of key sources who was at a Dallas hotel meeting in January. True, the vote says that the meeting has received evidence Koenig was improperly storing the personal data of U.S. poll workers in China. Now, what he is doing is he is discriminating against these people, okay? And so let's pray that God will bring this this Judge Hoyt to repentance and that he will let Catherine and Phillip go. That
He will be quickly overturned by a higher judge, too.
Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just would hold up these two people and ask, Father, that you would intercede. And Lord, because we know that if you're interceding, you're interceding not just on them. We know here that when one American receives injustice, we all receive it. We know that, Lord. And we ask, Father God, Lord, for these people and all of our people there that are still in those dirty, filthy jails there in D.C. for being patriots and standing up and being obedient to your word and resisting eternity and tyranny, rather. Resisting tyranny and speaking out against the stolen election. And so I would ask too, Father God, that you would come and you would take and you would bring that Judge Hoyt, that you would bring him to repentance. Lord, that he would be repent and reverse and or you would remove him, Lord. Father God, again, we ask that you set those captives free. And Lord, I pray that people around this country are praying and asking, Father God, and agreeing with us in this prayer. Joe, go ahead and finish.
Dear Lord, this is just one example of many where the Antichrist system is raising up, trying to destroy truth, trying to destroy good people, trying to destroy those who wish to tell the truth. And we have many out there who are now political prisoners in this country. And that not only would you be with these two brave journalists, but that you would also be there to help free all those who are being held captive right now for political reasons against our Constitution and against your law. That, Lord, you would set your people free in this country, that you would send the Holy Spirit a revival that would bring a dearth of, that would bring us faith back, it would bring back courage, and allow your people to run to this battle and bring victory in Jesus' name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, Joe, in the Epic Times, they have a fellow who runs over there, Roman, and I have a hard time pronouncing his last name, but anyhow, Bamakoff, I believe it is. Roman Bamakoff. Thanks, Greg. Anyhow, he is breaking some really good news, just breaking today, about what we've been telling people over and over about what is happening. We have to continue to tell people because, you know, we have to be the source that runs the end run around the fake news media because they will continue to push and promote the kill shots, and which are continuing to push and promote and kill people. And so the Epic Times has got a tremendous reputation for being very, very accurate and truthful. And so go ahead and play that clip.
In this country, there is an alarming trend of young people who are dying from unknown causes. Specifically, when we take a look at the numbers for the U.S. over the past 2 years, and these numbers, by the way, are coming from the Human Mortality Database, they show that starting in the year 2020, excess mortality rates began to skyrocket. Now, what excess mortality means is that these are people who, according to the government's own estimates, were not supposed to naturally die in a given year. Essentially, what the CDC does and what the CDC equivalents in different countries throughout the world do is that they look at the number of people who die every month, every year, and every season, and then they extrapolate out how many people they predict will die in a given year. And so as an example, after taking into account things like the seasonal flu, seasonal colds, hot weather in the summer that leads to heat stroke, 4th of July celebrations that lead people to blow off their arms, drunk driving raids during the holidays, and so on. Using all that data, the CDC puts together an estimate for how many people they think will die in a given year. And they've been doing this with great accuracy for many years now. However, since the beginning of 2020, the number of excess deaths, meaning the number of people who have died beyond the number they predicted, has just been skyrocketing. And so take a look at this data right here. It's on the CDC's own website, and it goes back to the year 2018. The two lines that you're seeing on the screen, the red and orange lines, are the normal range. They are the number of deaths that you would expect to occur within that time frame. However, notice something. For the last 2.5 years, there have only been a few months that met this average, whereas almost all of the other months were either above or well above that expected average number of deaths. Those are all the lines that are indicated by a plus sign. In total, if you tally up all these excess deaths, you're looking for an average increase over the past 2 years now of about 15%. Now, one of the obvious questions here that many people, including likely yourself, is asking is whether or not these deaths are related to COVID and or whether or not these people were vaccinated. And the truth is, we don't know. The data is not stratified with those metrics, and so your guess is as good as anyone's. However, there are some auxiliary data points that we can take a look at, which give us a broader picture and perhaps a clearer understanding of what's really happening behind the scenes. And that data comes from insurance companies, because whether you love them or hate them, insurance companies have to be extremely rational and very clear-eyed about things like excess mortality, because calculating how many people die and why those people die is directly related to their bottom line. And so let's take a look at the most recent data that was put together by the SOA Research Institute, which stands for the Society of Actuaries Research Institute. The report was released about 2 months ago, back in August of 2022, and it's titled the Life COVID-19 Mortality Survey Report. And what they did with this report was compile as much data as they could from 20 of the largest group life insurance companies here in the U.S., and then compare the mortality rates during the period of the pandemic to the period before the pandemic, or what they refer to as the baseline period. And here's at least part of what they found. Quote, December 2020, August 2021, and September 2021 each had very high incurred mortality spikes of 40% or more, whereas the other 21 months range from a low of 5% excess incurred mortality to a high of 29% excess incurred mortality above baseline. Now notice something there, ranging from a high of 40% to a low of 5%, but nowhere in that range is it below 0%, meaning that all the months they have a range, but none of them were either average or below average. They were all above average. It just was a range of how much. Furthermore, in terms of the overall average of how much above average it was, here's what they wrote, quote, the 24-month period of April 2020 through March of 2022 showed the following group life mortality results. Estimated reported group life claim incidence rates were up 20% on a seasonally adjusted basis compared to 2017 to 2019 reported claims, meaning that when you look at the average, excess deaths were up 20%. Now, of course, some of that can be attributed to COVID itself. However, a good amount isn't. To get an idea of the ratio, take a look at this chart here, showing a comparison between the years of the pandemic and the baseline. And as you can see, from the second quarter of 2020 up until the first quarter of 2022, death benefits were up 133.2% over the baseline, meaning that there was about 33% more deaths than average. However, the number of COVID deaths above the baseline was only 20%, meaning that if we subtract the deaths that were labeled as straight COVID, then the number of non-COVID deaths over the previous baseline is 112.7%. Or in other words, according to this data, almost 13% more excess deaths occurred during this period of time for which COVID was not a stated reason. And of course, if you've been following the news for a while, then you know that because somebody is stated to have died from COVID, very often that was them having died with COVID rather than from COVID. But setting that aside, it's still about 13%. So then obviously, the next question is this, what's the reason? And that is not such an easy question to answer, as this report itself states that many of these deaths are from unknown causes. Here's specifically what this report writes in a subsection titled Cause of Death. Quote, cause of death continues to be difficult to study because a significant delay is seen in assignment of this parameter during the claim adjudication cycle. In the first quarter of 2022, for example, an incidence rate of 1.04, over 25% of first quarter incidents, is still attributable to claims with unknown causes of death as of March 31st, 2022, which comprises both reported claims without diagnosis and unreported claims. In 2020 and early 2021, the unknowns appear to have settled at 4% to 5% of total incidents, meaning in plain English that what is considered unknown within the first quarter of this year sits right now at about 25%, but as more of these individuals get diagnosed post-mortem, it'll likely settle to be about 5%. However, what's perhaps even more shocking is that within this data, some of it is stratified by age, and it shows that for Americans aged 35 to 44, it quite literally doubled. But keep in mind that this was a report put together by aggregating data from many different life insurance companies. And so perhaps we can get a deeper view if we dig into some specific companies. For instance, Lincoln National is currently the fifth largest life insurance company here in America. And according to their recent company report, well, they have seen a 163% increase in death benefits that were paid out under their group life insurance policies. Specifically, within their annual statements, over the past 3 years now, here's what Lincoln National paid out in death benefits under their group life insurance policies. In 2019, which was the year right before the pandemic, it was a little over $500 million. In 2020, which is when the pandemic began, they paid out approximately $548 million, which is about a 9% increase. However, in 2021, which was the second year of the pandemic, as well as the first year of the mass vaccination program, which saw almost 260 million Americans get the shot, Lincoln National paid out a whopping $1.4 billion. If you do the math, that is a 164% increase over the previous year. Now, it is worth mentioning that this percentage is for the total dollar amount that the insurance claims paid out. It's not the number of claims themselves, meaning this doesn't actually spell out how many more deaths were represented. It wasn't that there were 163% more deaths. It was 163% more dollars. However, we can do some back of the envelope math to get a rough estimate of how many people that represents. According to the Society for the Human Resource Management, the average death benefit for employer-provided group life insurance is 1 year's salary. And so then you just have to do the math. If the average annual salary of people who are covered by group life insurance policies here in the U.S. is $70,000, then we just take the amounts that Lincoln National paid out in 2020 and 2021 in order to get an estimate of the number of people who died. And after doing this, it shows that in 2021, there might have been 20,647 deaths of working adults covered again by just this one life insurance company. And as you can see on that chart up on your screen, that would be a 100% increase in the number of deaths from the prior year. According to that calculation, there would have been approximately 12,000 more deaths in 2021 than in 2020. And again, that's only for people who are covered by this one life insurance company. All right, just to pause here for a super quick moment, I wanted to mention that the sponsor of today's episode is a super cool company called, going through a moment ago, it's not just Lincoln National that is seeing a large uptick in the number of excess deaths. Among other large insurance companies, we also have Prudential Insurance, as well as Northwestern Mutual, showing a significant increase in deaths, as well as a life insurance company based out in Indiana called One America Insurance, which saw the number of deaths spike approximately by 40% in the year 2021, specifically among people aged 18 to 64. And according to the CEO of One America Insurance, in the company's 145 years of doing business, they have not seen a death rate as high as this. Here's specifically what he said just earlier this year. Quote, we are seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, not just at One America. The data is consistent across every player in that business. The increase in deaths represents huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people who are dying, but primarily working age people 18 to 64 who are the employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America. And what we saw just in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic. Just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a 3 sigma, or 1 in a 200-year catastrophe, would be a 10% increase over pre-pandemic. So 40% is just unheard of. Now, in terms of why the excess death rate is so high, well, as we mentioned earlier, it's unclear. However, what is clear, at least to these insurance companies, is that it appears to be non-COVID related. For instance, Lincoln National, they published a press release alongside their earlier documents attributing their net operating loss to what they refer to as a non-pandemic related morbidity problem. Here's specifically what their statement read in part, quote, Group Protection reported a loss from operations of $41 million in the quarter compared to a loss from operations of $26 million in the prior year quarter. This change was driven by non-pandemic related morbidity, including unusual claims adjustments and less favorable returns within the company's alternative investment portfolio. Now, for your reference, the term morbidity is defined as the condition of suffering from a disease or medical condition. And so, taking that into consideration, what that statement appears to be saying is that the spike in the number of deaths has to do with non-pandemic related diseases. Likewise, just like with Lincoln National, the CEO of One America Insurance, well, he also said that most of the death claims that they're seeing are not classified as COVID deaths. Here's what he said, again, just earlier this year, quote, What the data is showing to us is that the deaths that are being reported as COVID deaths greatly understate the actual death losses among working age people from the pandemic. It may not all be COVID on their death certificate, but deaths are up just huge, huge numbers. And so then taking this data from these individual life insurance companies as a sort of reference point, we can head on back to the CDC's website and take a look at a stratified chart that starts at the beginning of the year 2020 and goes all the way up until now. And on that chart, we can exclude COVID-19 as the cause of death. And when we do, we get 264,000 excess deaths, more than 250,000 excess deaths at least during this period of time. Now again, in terms of why this is happening, there are 2 points that I'd like to highlight. Well, there are actually 3 points that I'd like to highlight, but one of the points is not really YouTube friendly, and so therefore we'll just focus on two. The first one has to do with the increase in synthetic opioid overdoses. The number of overdoses here in the US over the past 2 years has increased dramatically, going up 30% between the years of 2019 and 2020, and then another 15% between 2020 and 2021. In fact, just last year alone, according to the CDC's own data, over 107,000 people have died as a result of overdoses. And again, that was just in the year 2021 alone. And as you can see from this chart up on your screen, the number of fentanyl overdoses experienced a huge uptick in 2020, just as the lockdowns began and just as people across the country started losing their jobs. And this increase was so dramatic that it led to the almost unbelievable situation where starting at the end of 2021, overdoses became the number one cause of death among US adults aged 18 to 45. Furthermore, outside of overdoses, these excess deaths might also be related to things like cancers, high blood pressure, diabetes, as well as other chronic diseases, which went undiagnosed because, if you remember, during the lockdowns, people were discouraged from going to regular doctor visits. And so again, if you remember back in the year 2020, the people who were pushing back against these lockdowns, they were warning that school closures would lead to lower test results, while closed doctor's offices would lead to an uptick in diseases that went undiagnosed. And indeed, as you've likely experienced for yourself, due to the lockdowns, what wound up happening was that most non-essential doctor appointments were either canceled or postponed for long stretches of time. And therefore, many people, well, they did not go for their regular cancer screenings, and therefore, perhaps, their cancer went undiagnosed, which led to higher stages of cancer once it did get diagnosed, and perhaps even more deaths. Now, the question is, did those cancer deaths lead to an uptick in excess death numbers? That's not exactly clear because we just don't have the stratified data from the CDC. Furthermore, the other question that I'm sure many people are wondering is how many of these excess death individuals were vaccinated versus unvaccinated? We also don't have that data. Now, I'm not saying that that data is relevant, but I'm just saying that we don't have it. Basically, all we know is that more people died than expected. Many pieces of evidence point to a lot of these deaths not being COVID-related, and by and large, the media is choosing to ignore this. And also the fourth point is that it's not just an American phenomenon. In fact, most developed countries that keep these sorts of records, well, we're seeing a similar trend play out over there. Whether those countries are in Western Europe, in the Nordic sphere, in Australia, in New Zealand, they are almost all universally seeing a trend of a sharp rise in excess mortality rates. For instance, here's a clip of a member of the European Parliament explaining how the European Union's excess mortality rate was up 16% higher than several previous
There's
years.
There's another issue right now. Raised all across Europe, the excess mortality rate. According to Eurostat, in the month of July, the excess mortality rate all across European Union went up 16% more than the average of 2016 and 2019. Now, if you look on the map here, this is released by the Eurostat. It's not from us. If you look on this map, you will see that the countries with the highest vaccination rate have right now the highest mortality rate. So obviously we ask, is there a connection between being vaccinated and having a higher mortality rate? Everybody's avoiding answering this, I would say, logical question.
And so the big question is, what exactly is going on here? Well, that part is not exactly clear. And of course, I don't get into speculation. I only report to you the facts. And the facts are, according to these documents, on average, insurance companies are seeing a 20% increase in excess mortality, while the CDC and the governments of other nations across Europe and Australia, New Zealand, etc., are reporting closer to a 15% spike in excess mortality. If you'd like to comb through either the government data or the life insurance company data that we went through in today's episode, all those links will be down there in the description box below. And furthermore, I'd love to know your thoughts on all this content. What do you think is actually leading to this increase in excess mortality? And why do you think that the media is, by and large, choosing to ignore it? Leave your thoughts in the comment section below. I'll be reading them later today as well as later into the week. And then lastly, I'd like to mention that there are other aspects to this whole excess death phenomena that we just cannot discuss here on YouTube. Not because it's false, but just because the algorithm will pick up certain key terms that I say and throw this video into a blanket suppression spiral. I've seen it actually happen many times before. And so if you'd like to listen to a full discussion regarding these excess mortality rates, I invite you to click on that link that's right there at the very top of the description box and head on over to Epic TV, where we can continue the discussion with a great interview that I conducted with Dr. Sanjay Verma, a cardiologist with, you can say, a unique perspective.
Alrighty, Joe, you know, all he really had to do is go to frontline doctors. They've been keeping stats, Dr. Tenpenny and that. And they've been keeping the stats, and they can show you real clearly that the people that have taken the poisonous poke are the ones that are dropping dead in the highest numbers, except for those that are killing themselves with fentanyl.
Well, but, to add to that, Dr. Ryan Cole is a pathologist, and he's got a very large article on the Epic Times and warning about the unusual cancers and disease, heart damage, death. And he said, we know the vaccine is more dangerous than the virus.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he is begging other pathologists and people to come forward. He said they're still afraid of losing jobs. And he's right, because we see breaking news, Marxist Medical Board stripped top Dr. Peter McCullough's medical credentials for speaking the truth about the COVID vaccine. Now, we've talked about Dr. McCullough in this radio program often. He is one internist, cardiologist, and epidemiologist. He has testified in front of the Senate Committee on Homeland Security, Government Affairs, and he is Vice Chief of Internal Medicine at Baylor University Medical Center, a professor of medicine at Texas A&M, and he has been editor-in-chief of one of the big journals, Cardiovascular Medicine, and he's been out there telling people about hydroxychloroquine, and he was an early advocate and still is, and he is one of the first doctors who sounded the alarm. And now they have, he is no longer in charge, he's no longer on the journal, putting out the medical journal, and they have just taken his medical license away from him because he's going against the narrative and telling the people the truth. So you've got this pathologist begging other doctors to come forward because if we don't, you know, get the truth out there, the lies will overtake. And he's talking about all the horrible things that have happened.
Well, Joe, you know, the AMA has lost all credibility. Look, the AMA, right? Pardon?
It's very much like the CDC. You know,
right.
When I heard the CDC called. I gotta do this one on the radio. Wayne Allen Root has come out and said the Center for Disease Control and Prevention just became the child death cult because last week we all know they voted unanimously to recommend every school district in the nation to mandate the COVID-19 vax for every child or they can't go to the public school system. So here all these stories, the three stories, tie together.
Whose ultimate responsibility is it?
It's really a war, isn't it?
Is it not the parents' ultimate responsibility, if they love their children, not to take them in and sacrifice them?
Yes, it's the parents' responsibility. They are in charge for God, for taking care of the creation that God makes. We're in charge of their care, caring for them, loving them, and feeding them for the Lord. And if we turn them over to Satan to educate and to the government to vaccinate and pollute their bodies, then we are not doing what God has asked of us as parents.
I know a number of states have already come out and said, no, that will not happen in their states. They will not allow that in their states to make that public policy in the schools. And that Ohio, I think, was the last of the ones to come out. I'm not sure if Missouri's in there or not, or probably would be with Josh Hawley.
I remember there was a big list. There were like 22 states that are pushing for it, and so many are against it. There's so much. You and I are running through so much information so fast, and we don't have a big staff or big team, and it's hard to keep up. But folks, as I look at all the stuff in front of me that we're just talking about, this election coming up, it really, I think it's about survival. It's about your economic survival. I've been looking through the reports. How many people can't pay their electric bill? How many people have missed meals, are buying poor quality food, buying junk food because they can't afford the good stuff? Families not driving, not going places, going out to eat. Things are really bad, and they're going to get a lot worse economically. So, one, this election is about your economic survival. Two, it's about really your children, the life of your children and grandchildren. This is about life itself, especially with that CDC coming out and wanting every child vaccinated. All we're going to do is destroy children. Now, we've done stories, Pastor Ernie.
Joe, they keep doing this because people are complying. Because this is long as people comply, it's like right now, they want to make a federal law, make it mandatory to wear masks again on the air flights, okay? And as long as people keep complying, they're going to keep doing that, okay?
As long as the sheep are obedient, the government
right.
will take your freedom and your life and your money.
Right. Those masks will do nothing at all. They do more harm, much more harm than good. We know it. You know it. But it's like the king... The king's new suit, you know, the king didn't have any clothes, right?
Yeah.
But let me do this. I got to run through this, and tonight we're going to just have to skip that song tonight. In fact, we got so much information we have to get out, and we're running out of time. So I wanted to say this. First of all, a couple things happening there. In Michigan, Attorney General Dana Nessel forced security team to sign a non-disclosure statement after she was... passed out drunk, stone drunk, and had to be removed from Michigan football game in a wheelchair. Now, she is running her election, Matt DiPerno, the Republican candidate. Matt DiPerno is a much better candidate. This Dana is one of, one of Soros bought and paid for. And if you folks in Michigan out there listening to us in Michigan, you need to get out. You need to vote for Matt DiPerno. The Bible is clear. Joe, we told you several times tonight why it's a sin to vote for a wicked person, why God's word, the Bible. Now, this would apply, Joe, in Georgia, to vote for Herschel Walker. You folks out in Georgia, you people, especially in Atlanta, in that big apostate church that Warnock runs, folks, you listen to me. You better listen to me. If you get the Bible, God's word, the Bible, we've told you time and time again, God is not mocked. You can't say, well, you know, I know it's a sin to vote for wicked people, but, you know, I kind of like some of my sin. Maybe God has to understand that the majority of us don't care. Well, you better pay attention. There's consequences to sin. There's consequences to sin. You need to vote for Herschel Walker over that Warnock, for the only reason being, not because Democrat or Republican, but because The Bible teaches clearly it's a sin to vote for a wicked person. Warnock is adamantly pro-abortion. Adamantly, if God's word in the Bible calls it a sin, sodomy, whatever, he embraces it. You in Michigan, you got a guy, Tudor, a woman, a very, very pretty woman named Tudor Dixon. And she's running against Gretchen Whitmer for governor. Gretchen Whitmer is a wicked woman, folks. She's an extremely, remember, closed down the churches, closed down all the churches, but keep the abortion mills running. Keep killing babies. Keep the pot shots open, okay? Keep the liquor stores, the gambling. She is a very wicked woman, and she was involved with that fake, phony scam that the FBI ran. It's a fake and phony scam about her kidnapping, folks. That whole thing was set up and put up by the FBI. In Pennsylvania, you've got Dr. Oz against Fetterman. You know, did you see the tattoos that Fetterman has on his arms? Those are satanic tattoos. Okay, this man is adamantly, first of all, he doesn't think that you should even own a firearm. You don't even own, but worse than that, Joe, again, this man is adamantly pro-abortion, pro-death, pro-child killing. In New York, you've got Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin is the conservative Christian. He's running against Kathy Hochul. Joe, that woman is involved in a satanic-type cult, Joe. And she's... If you listen to her, I guess you would call it the New Age type of thing. But she, did you hear what she says? Why are people concerned about crime? I don't understand why they're concerned about crime. Did you hear what she said?
Take the subway without her bodyguards. Maybe that would help.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. When she says that people that are pro-life, people that are against sodomy, people that are decent, good and decent people need to leave New York. Well, they are leaving New York in large numbers. She says you ought to leave and go to Florida. They are leaving New York and going to Florida because of Kathy Hochul. That's one of the reasons. But she is an extremely wicked woman, an extremely wicked woman. And again, I just wish more pastors in this country would have the guts, pastors in New York, to call her out the way they should. And we'll be back right after this one more.
How sweet to hold
feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Christmas, who's Go Home to Be with the Lord, and Brian Park, and yours truly, old Pastor Ernie. And so let's go out to take, who do we have, Stephen? Stephen out in St. Paul.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine. Say, I'm calling, you know, the children's hospitals now are overwhelmed with patients, you know, children are getting sick left and right. And what are they calling? What are they saying they're getting? They're getting some virus, they're saying on the news. I know it's not the truth, but.
No, we cannot trust. There's no way you can trust the medical association today in so many ways. Yeah.
But the vaccine, they've been getting that vaccine, you know, and that's what's making them. I believe that's what's making them sick.
And we're trying and trying and trying and trying to tell people, don't do it. Do not give your children. Do not let them get that vaccine.
And yeah. So,
well,
that's why I called in. I thought, you know, hey, you know, this is, we got a crisis here with a lot of children now, babies getting sick, and they're in the hospital and they're suffering. You know, it's just sad. We got another, you know, pandemic, but the hospitals, you know, children's hospitals are like what the adult hospitals were 2 years ago.
I got, and maybe I can find this. It was an article from somebody sent me from Florida. Let me see. Maybe I can find this thing. If I can find it, I'll show you what this lady had to say. Well, let me see here. Okay, well, let me just, here's a message about this woman in Tampa, Florida, who went into a hospital, and the things that she saw, and I'm going to try to find the original message, but I guess I can't find it. But it's really an amazing thing here. I'm going to try. Wait a minute. Let me see. This may be it. Okay. I just wanted to let you know that a friend of mine who lives in the Gainesville area took her son to an ER, pediatric ER, and she said, Angela, I had to leave to go there. There was so many parents in there with their newborn babies. These babies are wrapped up in their baby blankets as they are bringing them in. She said there's quite a number of them that are where the babies are gasping for air.
Yep.
They're having a hard time breathing. The respiratory system was all messed up. And I think it's because they were given the vaccine. That's my guess, and that's what I told her. But anyhow, that's what that was the message she left here.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you very much, Stephen, for sharing that with us.
Yeah, they've got to have some big changes next week, that's for sure. The election, midterm, people got to get out and vote.
They got to get out and vote. They can't take anything for granted because we keep hearing it's going to be a red wave, a red tsunami, folks. Look, you got to understand, the Democrats are out there, and they're finding all kinds of ways. We've already seen time and time again where they're finding ways to cheat. Here you go. Here's an article here. Dems claim ballots 2 weeks late are good now. Court rules, no, the court overturned that, and that, of course, in Pennsylvania, they've had so many, but this one is in Illinois. A federal court has rejected an attempt by the Democratic Party in Illinois to argue in court that mail-in ballots arriving weeks late should be counted, okay? Anything, they will do anything, and I mean anything and everything. If there's any kind of way of cheating, they know it. And so we cannot take anything for granted. We have to be out in large, large numbers. So, all right, thank you.
Pastor Ernie, to go along with that, there was a TV station here that aired the results of the gubernatorial race 12 days before the election.
Yeah.
Yeah, a TV station in Arizona broadcast.
That was against Kerry Lake.
Governor's race there.
They had it all set up, didn't they? And
They had it all set up, and it got put a little bit early. And, of course, the race is between Katie Hobbs, the Democrat, and Kerry Lake. And they were trying to say that Katie Hobbs won, and they've already had this all set up, ready to go, because it was aired, and they went, oops, somebody let the cat out of the bag. So you know they're cheating when they're writing news stories ahead of time.
Something similar happened years ago when before Ronald Reagan ran against Carter. And what happened was they were putting together, they were filming a newscast, they were putting together having Carter winning, and somehow some guy had picked up their signal, had cut into their signal, and he was watching what they were doing, and that was, the newscaster that was out that was involved in so many false reports, and Dan Rather, and that was Dan Rather.
Yeah.
And they were announcing the victory, and this guy got a hold of that, and he put it out on the internet, and not on the internet, he put he did put it out. I think it was on the internet, yeah. All right, we got to move on. Let's see, who do we have? Did you say Glenn, you're in the air, Glenn. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Pastor. I wanted to bring up the point about the Chinese. They're opening police stations in in the U.S. There's two I heard in New York, and there's three in Toronto, and there's several across in, you know, other cities, Europe, and that kind of thing. I originally heard from on Twitter from this Patriot artist thread named Lobato, and I looked it up, and it was true. It's actually this one police station in New York actually got in trouble with the IRS. They haven't paid their taxes, but you know, they say it's to monitor Chinese citizens living abroad, but you know, who knows how this can be abused. And what the conspiracy theories about a possible invasion of the U.S. But I no longer think that they're going to try that because of the economy and the energy crisis and all that. And also, too, is there any way you could have Pat Rule on from Chagrin Falls?
Yeah, I could have her on. She's on this station during, I believe, on Sundays during the day. I tell you what. Yeah. If you contact her and have her call me, you contact her and have her call me, and I'll put her on, okay? Can you do that?
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah, it's a plan. You go ahead. All righty. Okay, thanks. All right.
Regarding those police stations, they have been forcing the Chinese citizens to spy, to do other things, because what they do, the police go around threatening we, your family, your relatives back can be arrested. They can lose their job. All kinds of things can happen to them. And it's controlling the Chinese citizens to be against America, to do things that are anti-American and pro-Chinese. So in a way, they're fomenting internal strife and revolution. And we're allowing these Chinese police stations to exist, even though we know what their purpose is. So, I mean, this country is committing suicide by stupidity.
Well, it's because we are in a police state. We are in a police state that they have infiltrated. Look, the Chinese, I don't know how many ways I can say this, but the Chinese Communist Party owns the Biden crime cartel lock, stock, and barrel. They own them, okay? Now, the Chinese themselves have said that. They have said that they own them. Okay, now, so you have to understand, all of these things that are happening in America is to reduce us to third world status. Now, they haven't found a way of getting away our guns, but they may, because the Chinese, along with Bill Gates, they are buying up all of the farmland in this country. And I think, Joe, you're going to get to the point where they can't get us to turn our guns in. They'll have us to where we have to exchange our guns for food. You will not, you know, this is why this election is so, so very important. We got to clean up the government. We got to get, you know, if you've got all of these hardcore communists, you got over 30-something hardcore communists in the Senate, over 30 known communists in our Senate alone. And who knows how many, well over 100 in the House, in the Congress. Joe, you got a few minutes. Can you give an invitation?
Sure can. Be my pleasure. I'm thinking there were several in Corinthians talking about you are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And that's in 1 Corinthians 3:16. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We know in Scripture, God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, Jesus who knew no sin, that we could be righteous enough to be in the presence of God, that we could become part of the family of God. And this is one of the just wonders of this loving, wonderful God that made salvation possible, but he gave us this free will. He gave us the choice to accept him, his love, his sacrifice or reject him. And if we want to become part of the kingdom of God, if we want to have everlasting life, if we want to become children of God, if we want to become part of this wonderful family, then we have to be born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's a spiritual birth. But that's how we become part of the family of God. So what you do very simply is you pray to the Father, and we know in Christianity you always pray to the Father through the Son, but you pray to the Father that your sins be forgiven, the sins that put his Son Jesus on that cross, that Lamb of God who went and took your place, my place, on the cross of Calvary and paid the price for our sin. And Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death, period. Jesus paid the price so that you and I may live. So we ask the Father for forgiveness for that, and then we ask that Jesus Christ come into our life and that we would willingly give ourselves to him to be Lord of our life, all of our life, and we want to do it without any reservation. And he will come into our life by giving us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, which is our down payment on everlasting life. We are sealed then forever. We become the sons and daughters of God. We become joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting life. And we become this new creation in Christ. We become truly a Christian, part of the family. It is the greatest thing that can ever happen, but you alone are responsible to go to God and ask for forgiveness. Nobody else can help save you. You must save yourself through Jesus Christ. And Pastor, yes, you and I would tell people we have never met anyone who has ever regretted being a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom, right?
Well, we've never met anyone who has ever done anything that meant as much to them as receiving Christ as Savior, have we?
No.
Would it be
nothing in this world that's as important.
Yeah, so that wouldn't even be possible, would it? Because, you know, this life that we live here in these bodies is very short compared to eternity. It's like the Bible compares it to a vapor that appears for an instant. And so what you're talking about is making that, and people think, well, that's too easy. You know, it's just too easy. It's got to be a lot more to it than that. It can't be that easy, right? But God, you know, the Lord Jesus, he did all the heavy lifting. He took us, and he prayed. And the reason he did that, the substitutionary death, is there's no way in the world we could ever do it for ourselves, could we?
No, we surely couldn't.
So
we surely couldn't. And the fact that just that we were loved that much, we forget that God is love, but we have to repent. We have to realize it's our sin was the cause of Christ going to the cross of Calvary, and we must repent, or it's just words. It has to be a true repentance, and that means we are willing to change our life and go toward the Lord and go run away from the world and all of the sins of the eye, the flesh, lust of the flesh, sin of the eye, and want to be changed people.
All right, very good. And folks, there you go. It tells you he laid it out. We're running out of time. We're up against the clock tonight. I want to thank all of you, all of the years, for you that have supported us for all of these years. I want to thank you. And remember, folks, God has raised us up for such a time as this. This is our time to run to this battle. So until tomorrow, good night, God bless, and
God
always,
bless.
Always, always keep fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Border Battle, the new six-part documentary series puts you on the front line of America's southern border and rise of the deadly drug fentanyl.
The overdose death crisis in this country is directly linked to Cartel Jalisco New Generation and the Sinaloa Cartel and their labs.
Fentanyl is 50 times more powerful than heroin. 3 grains of fentanyl would kill you.
Tens of thousands of Americans have died, and our southern border is a drug cartel war zone.
Now they have sophisticated weapons, tanks. They're dropping explosives on their competitors right by the border. We've never seen this before in the history of the country.
Border Battle shows a border crisis like never before, with exclusive footage exposing the consequences of illegal immigration, drug trafficking, and decades of government neglect.
This will get worse before it gets better.
Watch Border Battle from Turning Point USA. Download this shocking six-part series now at SalemNow.com. That's SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.